In the beginning, I wanted to thank all the devotees for the opportunity to speak on the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and seeking all of your blessings. Of course, beginning with very senior Vaishnavas, such as Pankajangri Prabhu. But in fact, everybody, because we have so many exalted devotees, of course, Bhaktivedanta Manor being the flagship of ISKCON on this continent, in Europe, in the western part of the world. And we have so many amazing devotees. I was just thinking about this line we were singing during Guru Puja. Shri Guru Charane Rati Aise Uttamagati, that just we can achieve the topmost destination, the spiritual world, Uttamagati, by Shri Guru Charane Rati, by Rati, or attachment to the lotus feet of Shri Guru. And I was thinking, what is that attachment? If we think, what does it mean, attachment to the lotus feet of a spiritual master? In the first place, it means attachment to his instructions and his followers, because the followers of a spiritual master are the ones who are situated at his lotus feet. So, actually, attachment to the direct disciples and followers, sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada. This is a very important prerequisite for us to attain perfection and desire to mold our lives in such a way that we actually please devotees, make devotees happy. And we have so many wonderful Vaishnavas capable of giving very powerful blessings. I was even thinking that Bhakta Ruben, who was singing this morning, materially speaking, he is PhD, but we do not take material qualification so much into the account, but spiritually he is also a PhD. What spiritual PhD stands for? Pure-hearted devotion. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. And so this was the reason why in his kirtan everybody was dancing, because his chanting is so sincere and so pure. So therefore, I'm seeking to get all of your blessings to... I don't have any qualification to speak, but I agree when I'm asked, because I understand that it serves in the first place for my own purification. And so therefore, I wanted to ask you to bless me, please bless me, that whatever I speak would be beneficial for all, myself in the first place. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So we are continuing reading from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 24 is entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation, and we'll be reading starting from text 15 all the way up to text 30, which is on the board. So with your permission, I'll just read out the first ...15 texts myself, because they have no purpose. And then we'll chant text 30 responsibly. To please himself, King Satyavrata, not knowing that the fish was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, decided with great pleasure to give the fish protection. Oh, actually, this verse has purport, but it's very short. Here is an example of giving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even without knowledge. Such service is called Agyata Sukriti. King Satyavrata wanted to show his own mercy, not knowing that the fish was Lord Vishnu. By such unknowing devotional service, one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Service rendered to the Supreme Lord, knowingly or unknowingly, never goes in vain. The merciful king, being moved by the pitiful words of the fish, placed the fish in a water jug and brought him to his own residence. But in one night, that fish grew so much that he could not move his body comfortably in a water pot. He then spoke to the king as follows. "Oh, my dear king, I do not like living in this water pot with such great difficulty. Therefore, please find some better reservoir of water where I can live comfortably." Then, taking the fish out of the water pot, the king threw him in a large well. But within a moment, the fish developed to the length of 3 cubits. Nama evat alam rajan sukham vastum udanchanam pritudehi padam mahyam yatvaham sharanam gatam. The fish then said, "My dear king, this reservoir of water is not fit for my happy residence. Please give me a more extensive pool of water, for I have taken shelter of you." O Maharaj Parikshit, the king took the fish from the well and threw him in a lake, but the fish then assumed a gigantic form, exceeding the extent of the water. The fish then said, "O king, I am a large aquatic, and this water is not at all suitable for me. Now kindly find some way to save me. It would be better to put me in the water of a lake that will never reduce." When thus requested, King Satyavrata took the fish to the largest reservoir of water. But when that also proven insufficient, the king at last threw the gigantic fish into the ocean. While being thrown in the ocean, the fish said to the king Satyavrata, "O hero, in this water there are very powerful and dangerous sharks that will eat me. Therefore you should not throw me in this place." After hearing these sweet words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of a fish, the king, being bewildered, asked him, "Who are you, sir? You simply bewilder us." It's interesting, addressing fish as sir. Translation: "My lord, in one day you have expanded yourself for hundreds of miles, covering the water of the river and the ocean. Before this, I had never seen or heard of such an aquatic animal. My lord, you are certainly the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana Srihari. It is to show you mercy to the living entities that you have now assumed the form of an aquatic. O my lord, master of creation, maintenance and annihilation, O best of enjoyers, Lord Vishnu, you are the leader and destination of surrendered devotees like us. Therefore, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. All your pastimes and incarnations certainly appear for the welfare of living entities. Therefore, my lord, I wish to know the purpose for which you have assumed this form of a fish." So it's interesting that Maharaj Satyavrata immediately defines Matsya Avatara as Lila Avatara. So, incarnation for the sake of pastime, which Matsya Avatara is. So this is how sharp devotees are. They immediately, not only they see the Lord, but they understand perfectly the Lord's category, the category of the incarnation and everything about the Lord. But still, they are inquiring because they want to know more. And so we'll chant text 30 responsively. translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O my Lord, possessing eyes like the petals of a lotus, the worship of the demigods who are in the bodily concept of life is fruitless in all respects. But because you are the supreme friend and dearmost super soul of everyone, worship of your lotus feet is never useless. You have therefore manifested your form as a fish. So that's one more amazing prayer, meditating on the lotus feet of fish and seeing that fish is possessing lotus eyes. Purport. The demigods like Indra, Chandra and Surya are ordinary living entities who are differentiated parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord expands Himself through the living beings, Nitya Nityanam Chetanash Chetananam. His personal Vishnu Tattva forms, which are all spiritual, are called Svamsha, and the living entities or differentiated parts are called Vibhinamsha. Some of the Vibhinamsha forms are spiritual, and some are a combination of matter and spirit. The conditioned souls in the material world are different from their external bodies made of material energy. Thus, the demigods living in the upper planetary system and the living entities living in the lower planetary system are of the same nature. Nonetheless, those living as human beings on this planet are sometimes attracted to worship the demigods in higher planetary systems. Such worship is temporary. As the human beings on this planet have to change their bodies, Tatha Dehantara Prapti, the living entities known as Indra, Chandra, Varuna and so on will also have to change their bodies. In due course of time, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Antavattu Palam Tesham, Tadbhavati Alpamedasam, men of small knowledge, intelligence, worship the demigods and their fruits are limited and temporary. Kamaista Istarita Gyana Prapadyantenya Devata. Those who do not know the position of the demigods are inclined to worship the demigods for some material purpose, but the results of such worship are never permanent. Consequently, here it is said, Te taresham pridagat manam satam pado pasarpanam rishabhavet. In other words, if one is to worship someone else, he must worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then his worship will never be fruitless. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya atrayate mahato bayat. Even a slight attempt to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a permanent asset. Therefore, as recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, tyaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam hare. One should take to the worship of the lotus feet of Hari, even if this means giving up the so-called occupational duty assigned because of the particular body one has accepted. Because worship in terms of the body is temporary, it does not bear any permanent fruit. But worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives immense benefit. We'll read this last text one more time. Nate ravindaksha pado sarpanam rishabhavet sarva suhrit priyatmana yathe taresham pritagatmanam satam adidrisho yadvapu atputam hina. O my Lord, possessing eyes like the petals of a lotus, the worship of the demigods who are in the bodily concept of life is fruitless in all respects. But because you are the supreme friend and dear most super soul of everyone, worship of your lotus feet is never useless. You have therefore manifested your form as a fish. We've read 15 texts altogether, and so there is a lot of very valuable information contained in those texts, but we only have 25 minutes, so we wouldn't be able to address all these points, and therefore mostly we'll be focusing on this last verse we've read, because Srila Prabhupada gave such an extensive purport. And the main point of the purport is very simple. Worship Krishna and do not worship anyone else but Krishna. Of course, we have to respect everybody. But in terms of worshipping and following, we follow only Krishna. And we know that this point is very much stressed in Bhagavad Gita. There are so many verses, a couple of verses Prabhupada quoted in here in the purport, but these are not the only verses in Bhagavad Gita which discourage deity worship, demigod worship. And all the Vaishnavacharyas are speaking exactly the same point. They're stressing exactly the same point. Not only Srila Prabhupada, but everybody. Like Narottam Das Thakur says, Rishike, Govinda Seva, Napujiba, Devi Deva. Engage, Rishika, your senses in Govinda Seva, in worshipping the Supreme Lord, and Napujibo, Devi Deva. And do not worship any other Devis or Devas. Do not worship anyone else but the Supreme Lord. So we may wonder why. What's the difficulty? And especially, of course, this question may arise in Indian communities. But it's not only Indian communities, even white communities. They, you know, this tendency to worship somebody, you know, whether it is some celebrity film star or whoever, you know, Michael Jackson or like American. What is the main American religion? What is the most widespread religion in America? That is to worship Mickey Mouse. Right? I mean, when I was in L.A., just for fun, devotees took me to a Disneyland. And in this place, I mean, if you are there at night especially, they have such a firework, you know, and such a, you can say, grandiose festival. For whom? For Mickey Mouse! I was thinking, oh my God, if they would just use all these resources to worship the Supreme Lord, if they would worship the Supreme Lord like that, they would get so much benefit. But they're just worshiping Mickey Mouse. And so many people, they come to this, you know, evening arati, to the Mickey Mouse. And the kind of fires they offer to him are going on and on and on for hours. Well, or at least an hour, etc. So this tendency to worship somebody, but not the Supreme Lord, is so strong, and it doesn't even matter whether it is Indian or non-Indian community. Yeah, the simple fact that human beings would worship anyone and everyone but Krishna. And so therefore, this point is so much stressed here. And I've noticed that tendency to use acronyms for remembering the main points in the class becoming very popular, so we'll follow the trend. And we'll focus on two words, which would actually be acronym for what we want to discuss. And the two words are very simple. These are life and death. So if you remember life and death, you'll remember pretty much everything what we spoke about. And so we'll start with death. Why death? Because this is the first step in yoga, yama. Yama means death, literally. Something which we have to avoid. And as His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, we should die before dying in order to gain eternal life. So the first point is to understand what is death. So let's try to understand what is death. So there are five letters in death, D-E-A-T-H. And so what is it that leading to death? That is demigod worship. We worship anyone but Krishna. And why people worship demigods in the first place, or why they worship anyone who is not supreme? Because kamaistastaritagena, they have material desires. So first D in death stands not just for desire, but it's double D, desiring delusion. Desiring something which will never make you happy. Like Hiranyakashipu. What was his desire? He wanted to become God. He wanted to become immortal. He wanted to become all-powerful. So that's a delusion. But it is very typical in the material world. Even some people would follow some spiritual path which has nothing to do with Krishna or spiritual advancement, as some people say that, you know, someone said, I was an atheist until I realized that I am God. So that's very typical. Or some woman tells her acquaintance, I divorced my husband over religious differences because he was trying to convince me that he is God and I was not accepting it. So that's very typical. And this is why people worship demigods or some powerful personalities, just to get that power. And we can see that who was worshipping demigods in Bhagavatam. What are the examples? Demons. Hiranyakashipu being, of course, the very prominent example, worshipping Lord Brahma for power. Then in the 10th canto, there is an example of one demon, Brikasura, who was worshipping Lord Shiva for power. And immediately, as soon as he got power, he wanted to kill Lord Shiva. This is the type of worship people have. So desiring delusion, that's the first symptom of death. So second, E stands for extraneous efforts. I mean, Hiranyakashipu standing on the tip of his toes for how many years? For a long time. Huh? Thousand celestial years, something like that. Anyway, long time. Extraneous effort. So double E. A stands for artificial ambitions. To desire to become immortal or all-powerful, etc., etc. To replace God. Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Like the King Poundraka. He was claiming to be the Supreme Lord. And he fixed two artificial arms, two prosthetic arms, to show that he also has four arms, that he is Narayana. So, artificial ambition. Then T stands for terrible termination. Not just termination, but terrible termination. And we can see what the demons, what kind of end the demons were facing. Like Hiranyakashipu, I mean, to have a, abdomen surgery without any anesthesia, that's pretty hard and to face, right? To be ripped apart, that's not much fun. So that was terrible termination. And then H stands for horrendous humiliation. Because after the terrible termination, that's not all. Demoniac people go to hellish planets and they face horrendous humiliation. So, and this is a kind of connection point for us, for understanding what we have to do in Krishna consciousness, that if we do not humble ourselves before the Lord, we'll be humbled by material nature. It's like my spiritual master likes to make this point that devotees are making prostrated obeisance in front of the Lord, showing their humility. But, you know, for some people, they will never do that. But they will still, even though they want to stand in a very proud way, still they would have to humble themselves in front of the Lord. Still they would have to make a dandavat in front of Him. When? At the time of death. Death means everyone has to offer prostrated obeisances to the Supreme Lord, right? So it's either we become naturally humble or we'll be humiliated, horrendously humiliated. So that's the option between material life and spiritual life. And actually, as one of our Christian brothers very smartly explained, that, you know, all these things like desires and efforts and even ambitions, they can be used in Krishna consciousness. But what is the difference between, you know, material ego, false ego, or real ego? He also uses very interesting acronym for ego. He says ego can be of two types, and material ego means edging God out, right? I move the God out of the picture and I put myself in the picture. Like that. Anyway, there was one spiritual leader who would take the Krishna's picture and put his own face in place of Krishna's face. This is what's called edging God out. And there are so many people who do that. So that's material ego, you know. Somehow or other, by hook or crook, I have to edge God out and put myself in the picture. But what is spiritual ego? What is true ego? E-G-O, exalting God only. That's real ego. Exalting means glorifying the Supreme Lord and serving Him in such a way that He is glorified, in glorious way, serving Him in glorious way. And so this is what we need to avoid. We need to avoid death. And what is life? Life stands for four amazing benefits. I mean, Krishna consciousness is full of so many benefits, but there are four benefits which are very impressive. And first benefit, which stands for L, again it's double L, limitless love. Because unlike material love, which is limited by time and space, spiritual life has no limits. If we love limitless love. Spiritual love has no limits because Krishna is unlimited and everything and everyone is connected to Krishna. So if we actually love Krishna, will love everyone. It's like one disciple of Srila Prabhupada asked him, "What do you do to make people love you so much?" Because that was very obvious, that everyone loved Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, it's very simple. You have to love everyone. Because love is reciprocal. You just show love to everyone. Everyone will show love to you. And so, because devotee has that real love, divine love towards Krishna, he loves everyone as parts of Krishna. And in this, you know, just little bit referring to the previous verses, the Matsya avatar expands himself to such an extent that King Satyavrata cannot feed that fish anywhere. He has to place the fish in the ocean. And it's very interesting, in the process, Matsya, who is the Supreme Lord, who doesn't need anyone's care, who is not afraid of anyone, he says, please take care of me, and please do not put me in the company of, you know, different aquatic animals. I'm really afraid of them. So why? First of all, expanding. And we can notice, you know, just a few words on Matsya as such, that Matsya avatar, as soon as he appears as a small fish and then he expands, right? And then, if you look at the other incarnations, Vamanadev, he appears as a little dwarf, Brahmana boy, then he expands to the limits of the universe. Then, Varaha, he is so small, relatively, that he fits into the Brahma's nose, right? He falls out of his nostril, and then he expands. So that seems to be the nature of Lila Avatar. Expand. The Lord is expanding. And why the Lord is expanding? Just to make his devotee happy by giving him his darshan, and actually expanding because of his devotee's love. Because of the devotee's love, Krishna manifests himself. And if we look at ISKCON, and Srila Prabhupada was saying that Krishna appeared as ISKCON. ISKCON was expanding. Why? Because of Prabhupada's pure love. Because Prabhupada wanted to please Krishna. So Krishna was making all the arrangements for the expansion of ISKCON. And why Matsya avatar says that, do not put me out in the ocean, I don't want to be with all these aquatics? Because he doesn't want to lose Satyavrata's association. He wants to stay with Satyavrata because Satyavrata loves the Lord so much. Lord wants to stay with him. So the Lord becomes dependent on the service of his devotee. So that's real love. And, of course, that's the main benefit, but this is not the only benefit one gets in Krishna consciousness. I stands for immortality. But it's not just immortality, it's inspiring immortality. Because in the material world, for someone to become immortal, there are some examples, even in Bhagavatam, that there was one sage, Maitreya, Rishi, and he, by dint of his austerities and spiritual practices, he became Chiranjeev. He became almost immortal. He lived a very long time, and then he had to face the universal destruction and inundation. You know, the whole universe was flooded. And he faced so much suffering and misery. But because he was immortal, he couldn't even die. So that's the predicament in the material world. That, you know, like in one joke, one patient is asking a doctor, please tell me if after my recovery I will live long. And doctor says, Yes, you can, but I would not recommend. So, yeah, material life is so horrible that, you know, you don't want to stick around forever. Because to stick around forever means to suffer forever. But Krishna consciousness offers a different type of immortality. It's inspiring immortality. Like we can see Narada Muni, he is immortal. But he is so fired up, he is traveling all over. And that brings us to the third benefit, which stands for F, that is freedom. But it's not just freedom, because sometimes freedom can also be quite discouraging. Like Srila Prabhupada found a cockroach in the room he stayed. And he took that cockroach by the leg, and he came to the window, he opened the window, and he looked at the cockroach, and he said, "Now I'll give you the whole world, go and enjoy." And so he put the cockroach out of the window. So he gave that cockroach freedom to enjoy, but whether it was favorable or not, that's a big question. But Krishna consciousness gives us not just freedom, but favorable freedom. And we can see why devotees are so free, because they follow the regulative principles of freedom. They follow the process which makes them free. And E stands for enlightenment, and it's not just enlightenment. Some people are enlightened, like some impersonalists, they are enlightened. And as a result of their enlightenment, they go to the world of light, to the Brahma Jyoti, right? But after some time, they become so bored with their enlightenment. They become so bored, you know, like hanging out in there, in the light, that they think, what's happening on the earth again? And so they develop a desire to go back, because there is nothing to do in there in Brahma Jyoti, so they fall back again. Or the other option, they're trying to get into the spiritual world, and then Lord Shiva hits them with his trident, and they fly back through all 8,400,000 species of life and end up in a stone. But because they are so exalted, they get the body of a gemstone. That's why gemstones are so beautiful to see, because there is, in each gemstone, there is a Mayavadi sitting inside. And that's why the gemstones grow. So, well, this is what Jiva Goswami explains in his Sandarbhas, that this is what Lord Shiva does to the impersonalists who are trying to, you know, trespass the borders of the spiritual world, trying illegally to infiltrate in Vaikuntha or Galoka Vrindavan. And Lord Shiva is like the, border control, border officer, right? Security guard of the spiritual world. And what is the main qualification to get Lord Shiva's stamp of approval? Yeah, actually, in that sense, you know, worshipping Lord Shiva, or yeah, respecting Lord Shiva and getting his mercy is important for us. Why? Because he is in charge of a false ego. So unless Lord Shiva will give us his blessing to become free from the false ego, we wouldn't be able to get to the spiritual world. So that's a Vaishnava version of dealing with demigods. We want them, we want their blessings for serving Krishna. Like gopis, they were serving goddess Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband. So this is what Vaishnavas do. But they don't worship anyone for any material benefits. And therefore, spiritual enlightenment, Krishna conscious enlightenment, is not just static, okay, I became enlightened, then what? Now what? It's not static, it's ecstatic. Devotees are enlightened and they become very happy in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, they live happily in this world, even though this world is a world of misery, but somehow devotees are very happy, even in this world. Like at some point when devotees were distributing books in Germany in early days, and it was actually prosecuted by the officials. And then devotees started to go in disguise. They would hide everything and they would dress, karmi dress and everything. But still, policemen would approach devotee and said, oh, you're Hare Krishna, you're distributing books, you are arrested. And then devotees were wondering and they were asking policemen, you know, how do you recognize us? Because there is nothing which shows that we are Hare Krishnas. And the policeman laughed and he said, come on, you are the only ones who go around with a big smile on your face. So it's very happy to recognize a devotee because devotee is happy. And so devotees are living happily, even in the world of misery. And at the end they go to the happiest place of all, spiritual world, where they continue living happily ever after. So that's the story of Krishna consciousness. You get the best out of the material and spiritual worlds. Be happy here and continue and become immortal and live happily in the spiritual world. So this is the difference between worshipping Krishna and anyone else. That if you worship Krishna, you get real life. Limitless love, inspiring mortality, favorable freedom, and ecstatic enlightenment. But if we do not worship Krishna, then we'll be overwhelmed by desiring delusion, extraneous efforts, artificial ambitions, terrible termination, and at the end, horrendous humiliation. So, this is the choice. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Are we actually finishing at 8:30 or is it 8:45? Okay. Oh, Saturdays are 8:45. Okay, so thank you all very much and...